Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This is a show in season three. If you didn't know, we included the
Dean,
Wiggler, and Jess. Here till it ends. Meet up to pass or fail, Dream Gale with all of our friends. The brightest timeline's here to shine the way. Community building is here.
Yeah, that's right, everybody. It's community building here on Post Show Recaps, talking about Community Season 3, Episode 14, Pillows and Blankets. Hello, everyone. I am Josh Wiggler. I am joined here in creating the blanket fort alongside my good friend and yours, the great Jess Sterling. Jess, how's it going?
I am super excited to be the Chancellor of Blanketsburg. Just ready to talk coziness and pillow fights and battles and all of those things.
Yeah, generally speaking, we like to come to a podcast with differing opinions, with different perspectives wherever possible, yeah. Correct?
I would say that's on average correct.
I think like generally to like the medium of the podcast. Like that's a great thing to come to a podcast armed with. And yet here we are, both of us firmly ensconced in our blanket tree. We are Team Blanket.
I think most people are. I will say, I think that the pillow side of things, I do think they have the better outfits.
Yes.
But I do think
like the people in this episode who are Team Pillow.
I am philosophically.
Or you mean generally they are better attired, the pillow people?
I like Abed's outfit better than I like Troy's outfit. I like the pillow as a hat.
Uh-huh.
I think it makes, and I like the fact that they're wearing pillowcases as like togas.
Yeah.
That's great.
I think that the pillow as the hat is clearly inferior to the blanket as a cape. It's just not even particularly close.
But are any of them wearing blankets?
No, but what are we doing currently? We're both ensconced in our blanketry, Jess.
Yes, but I'm just saying then I think the blanket people should have thought about that and they should have done capes because maybe we would have been more their side.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I misheard you just now saying they shitted on capes as in like they just poo-pooed capes as a concept. which for a moment was pretty good.
Well, to be fair, if you're a superhero, capes are a terrible idea.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Jess, were you in the cape, by the way? Is that what I recognized you from?
No, I was not in the cape.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But if I was, I would be doing like whooshing my cape everywhere all the time.
Yes.
If I had a cape legit in real life, you would know about it instantly.
Yes, I think that's true. Well, of course, we are being very rude that here we are a few minutes already into this week's community building without having yet brought in our special guest for this week's episode of the podcast, because of course, as often as possible, Jess and I are not alone here on community building. So peeking their head out from beneath the pillow fort, joining us for a very special appearance this time around on community building. Special guest appearance from your friend and mine, Eric Charles Nielsen.
Crisis alert! It's Jess's birthday! Crisis alert! Jess's birthday was actually several days ago! Crisis alert! Jess's Dungeons & Dragons character almost died! Hi, Jess. This is Eric Charles Nielsen from Community, wishing you a very happy birthday from Josh and the entire PSR community, and also for myself. I am sorry this message is somewhat late. I may have been stuck in a vent, but I am here now. I hope you had a great birthday. I hope you're chillaxing. Apparently, you were not necessarily relaxing on your birthday. I am reading here about a near-death experience for for a character who I am going to call Little Billy, which is wrong, but I can pronounce it. A near-death experience for Little Billy, the pronounceable of Clan Clumsy Moss. I can pronounce that one. I don't understand it. I can pronounce it. I do not know how Moss can be clumsy, how you would even measure such a thing. Who would name their entire clan after the results of the evaluation of Moss dexterity? I'm beginning to realize what I'm doing here. I was told this was a birthday message, a belated birthday, and now I am realizing it's a gnome video! This is probably a gnome. I'm just saying, I don't want to cast around accusations. Probably talking about a gnome here. Well, your probable gnome made it through your birthday, and I made it through your birthday, and you made it through your birthday. It's still sunny. I hope you had a great birthday. I hope you have a great year. Because as far as I'm concerned, Jess, your birthday is not over. Your birthday is still happening right now. I do not care what the calendar says. So stay and eat cake or go to hell.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Eric, for joining us. He just rage quit the podcast after that message. But a quick crisis alert appearance from Garrett himself, wishing Jess Sterling a belated birthday here on the podcast.
That was wow, like the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my entire life. First of all, he hasn't aged a day. Anybody who's a patron needs to come watch this video to mm-hmm. see, because he really has not aged a day.
Yes.
He looks... That was Garrett.
Well, actually, time travel is the new hotness these days, Jess. And there may or may not have been some time travel chicanery involved in acquiring the presence of our very briefly here guest this week on community building. So props to Eric Charles Nielsen for popping in for a quick hi. Jess, we were not here last week to celebrate your birthday, mm-hmm. but according to Garrett, your birthday is still happening.
That's a great impression. Uh-huh. That was so good. That was outrageous and yeah. unbelievable and the best. That was wonderful.
Yes. So back underneath the pillow fort he goes, as unfortunately it is just the two of us here this week. But I hope that that sufficed. I hope that that worked.
So good. Uh-huh. I'm going to rewatch that like 7 more times.
Yeah. I'll send it to you. We can post this in the Post Show Recaps Patreon Discord.
Yes,
if you
please.
Are a patron of Post Show Recaps, you can have easy access to that. Jess, if you filibuster, I'll just post this.
Yeah, why right. would Moss be clumsy to uh-huh. answer that question?
Yeah. Do you like how he rebranded your Dungeons & Dragons character as Little Billy?
Little Billy.
Little Billy. Are we going to be able to canonize that?
Yeah, I think we're going to have to at some point. We're going to mm-hmm. have to some way. She's going to be Little Billy from Clan Clumsy Moss, although who knows why Moss is clumsy and mm-hmm. and how an entire clan named their village after Moss that is clumsy. He did know that she was a gnome, though.
Yeah, he called that.
That was
fairly impressive.
I know. I'm like, dang, does he actually play some D&D? Like, if he knew that, he has to play D&D, right?
Seems like he might. All right, so a quick appearance from Garrett here to wish us well on what is now known as Jess Sterling's forever birthday
yeah.
Here in the Community Building Podcast. as we are about to go into the Fortress of Pillows and Blankets in one of the easiest four-star episodes of Community around.
Yeah, easy four here. I think, like, I think while every character isn't necessarily, like, this isn't, like, the best episode for every character, as a genre episode, this is, like, a must-see episode of Community. We talked about it back when it was patron-only podcast. This was one of the episodes I had you watch because it's a documentary episode. It's hilarious. It's brilliant. Every single moment of this episode, I feel like, is off the charts fantastic and excels at what it does, which is be a mock, like a mock documentary, mockumentary, however you want to call it.
Very good in the Ken Burns documentary style here. Yeah. I know we had a Ken Burns documentary expert or two lined up for this one, and unfortunately, we were not able to make it work out. And unfortunately, Garrett couldn't stick around to talk us through it even further. I wish that I was more of a Ken Burns guy. I feel like that would be something smart that I could tout in my day-to-day life. Alas, it just has not really happened for me. So I think a lot of the Ken Burn-isms are probably going to be lost on me and perhaps on you, Jess. I don't want to just assume.
Oh, you certainly can assume. I'm not really a documentary kind of person. I've not seen many of them. But yeah, I do love this episode. And I mean, at least I do get the references, right? Like, we've all seen... We all took a history class at some
just
point
the
in
one.
Our lives.
Just one.
At least one.
Yeah.
And so we've seen, like, the slow pan across a still photo, right? Like, we get the references even if we haven't necessarily seen all the documentaries in the world.
Well, let us document today a historic, an historic day here in Community Building as we are blessed by Garrett himself to go forward into Pillows and Blankets, a part two, right? This is we've been separated from our part one by a full week in between parts. So really the cliffhanger was really intense, Jess, but we get to resolve it as we are going to hone in on Troy and Abed's terrible but so cozy war here in Greendale. So it's Pillows and Blankets, originally aired April 5th, 2012, directed by Tristram Shapiro, co-written by Dan Harmon and Andy Bibrow.
Yeah, Bibrow, Mr. Bibrow.
Yes.
So we start off, it's a documentary. I just love, we start off with, like, this quote, between two groups of people who want to make inconsistent kinds of worlds, I see no remedy but force.
Yes.
Oliver Wendell Holmes.
Yes. There's a lot of these great little serious quotes that are littered throughout that become so much less serious as the episode goes on. It's delightful. Now, some of the meta of this, if I'm to understand it correctly, is this episode yet another product of, like, reduction of budget across the season, that a lot of, like, the still photography that guides us through this episode is because they had, like, priced themselves out to a point where they just needed to, like, get an easier episode together at a lower cost? Am I misremembering that? I feel like that's something that somebody said in season zero.
It's possible someone said it. I mean, not to my knowledge, it could be that. I mean, I will say that for sure, I can 100% certainty say that we are seeing yet again another situation where Chevy Chase is not super present. And when he is, it's like, it's questionable.
It's the Stay Puft Pillow Monster.
Yeah. So I can for sure say that to be true. But in terms of them having to cut costs and doing it this way, I'm not sure. I don't believe so. I mean, I would think that, like, an episode like this with, like, the just it being a genre based episode and having to do the voiceover and all those other things, I would imagine it would cost just as much as any other episode, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, just for the patrons of Post Show Recaps who get to watch Community Building episodes live, the great Deidre asked, did Wiggler just go ham on Cameo this week or what? The answer, Deidre, is yes. Did two cameos for podcasting purposes and one for personal use that she'll never see the light of day. That's between me and Emily and Richard Karn and no one else. For improvements to our home go. And for no podcast use other than referencing it. Hold the door. That's the crossover. All right, so let's keep going. We get an intro to the Pillow and Blanket fight. There's all of these photos, all of this information. It's already being rendered in great stylistic war fashion. Yes. Annie as like the nurse with the IV of electrolytes and Gatorade.
Yeah, the Gatorade, and she has like the lint roller to get off the feathers off of people.
Yes.
Britta being the amateur photographer again. Yes. I don't care if I'm going to get shade for this. Britta is a full freaking five in this episode.
Dude.
Like, she's Britta on freaking fire this season.
Killing it out here. Britta's out here killing it. Is this sort of common wisdom about Britta? Are we on an island with how much we've been enjoying Britta in season three? Have we taken that turn towards the Britta-ing of Britta? Or is Gillian Jacobs just somehow in here in the year 2022 as we are watching Community, you for the thousandth time and me for my first run all the way through? Is she just hitting different? Because, God, she's hysterical. Britta for life. Britta for president of the universe. She's so good.
It just, I don't know what it is. I don't know if like the Britta-ing is hitting me differently, or we haven't quite hit the point where she's become like so dumbed down. But the fact that, again, we have everyone kind of fitting into these boxes of like the wartime effort, where Annie is a nurse, Britta is an amateur photographer. And the fact that she is like trying to take really great photos and putting them all in black and white to make them better and like accidentally captures this wonderful image. Yeah. It just is so funny to me. And I think part of it is we all know this person. We all know this person that would like crush a can on the ground and then try to take like an artsy photo of it.
Yes.
So I don't know. Something about it just hits me in such like my funny bone. Something about it. I don't know.
It's very good. We're just hearing about everybody. Shirley was good at kicking asses. Pierce, the dried up heir to a moist towelette empire, who would prove to be the dried up heir to a moist towelette empire.
Incredible. And the small details in this is what I think makes this episode so rewatchable. All the stills are just like have so much detail in them. Like Pierce has a book that says make your wars worldlier. Like the very small details like that kill me. So Troy is a commander in chief of his own army. And then Abed, who is a socially dysfunctional, uncompromising tactical mastermind. He doesn't know how to, I don't understand. He doesn't know left from right without mouthing the Pledge of Allegiance.
Is it because of where your hand goes during the Pledge of the Allegiance? And so that's how you know which way is left and which way is right.
I mean, I feel like the most common thing is you hold up your two hands with.
Not even one where we can get into any kind of like jokey disagreement about. That's absolutely the way. You just hold up the L's.
Yeah.
And whichever one isn't the L is the way to, is the right versus the left.
It's like the same thing as like righty tighty lefty loosey.
Nature's, you know? Nature's compass is your fingers and hands that you turn into L's.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, so I don't know how exactly that works out for Abed, but and I do love the lower thirds in this is also hilarious, where Shirley is big cheddar.
Big cheddar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love Shirley. When she's wielding two pillows.
I want to be known henceforth as Wig Cheddar.
Wig Cheddar.
Yeah,
I'm gonna anything with cheese is good by me. Quick. So
yes, Wig Cheddar. There we go.
Yeah, it's done. Amazing.
All right. So at Thursday at 4 p.m., we found out that Dean had approached Jeff for help to mediate with Troy and Abed. That this there's interference in this attempt at the Guinness World Record, and there's this fight that's happening 15 minutes later in the office. And Jeff is trying to dismantle the fight by giving them imaginary friendship hats.
Right.
But this is more serious than usual, Jess. This is not just something that an imaginary friendship hat can solve. And so Troy and Abed take them off their heads to signify just how serious this is.
Yeah. And I will say, it is kind of serious in that they're having an argument that is, yes, it is because Abed wants to make the entire thing a pillow fort and Troy wants to get the Guinness Book of World Records and combine it with a blanket fort for more square footage. But the root of the problem is that Abed is unwilling to ever bend to anyone else, right? And Troy, a lot of the
really
time,
is
feels
the
like
Stannis
the
Baratheon of Greendale Community College. Yes, he will break before he bends.
And so there is a serious problem, but it's so covered up by pillows and blankets and silliness that it is very much hard to find it at this point.
Yeah.
And so yeah, so they I love the like little narrative moments where they're like, they grace the cover of Friends Weekly, a pretend magazine of their own design.
Mm-hmm. Friends Weekly.
Yeah.
Is it just a weekly dispatch about the TV show Friends? Is that coming next for you and Sarah on the Shit the 90s Taught Me podcast?
Absolutely not. I am not covering 10 seasons of a show that has like 22 episodes a season.
You could just do a bunch of episodes in a single podcast, right?
I mean, we do that with Boy Meets World, and it still has taken us 2 years to nearly finish.
True. Fair.
Seven seasons.
Yeah,
so
that's a good point.
But yeah, so now the new construction, the fort is called New Fluffy Town. It's going to be newer, fluffier than Fluffy Town, their blanket fort from the previous year.
Yeah. Well, Fluffy Town hasn't really arrived until the new Fluffy Town has shown up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
More fluffy. Needs more fluff.
Mm-hmm.
So then we have New Fluffy Town and Blanketsburg. And so then after that, Abed renames his Pillow Town because of conceptual symmetry.
Right. So Pillow Town, Blanketsburg. These are good places. I think I would probably rather live in Pillow Town personally than Blanketsburg, even as a, I think I'd be a blanket wearing person in Pillow Town, I think is probably where
looks.
I would like to go. I would. And then I would look back at them and be like, what's the matter? You've never seen a blanket before?
Yeah.
And I become really tough as a new Fluffy Town or like a local, Jess. I've got that attitude that I can bring to bear as I arrive in Pillow Town.
You know what is interesting? Because I think by name alone, I'm drawn more towards Blanketsburg because the double B, you know, I like that a bit.
Yeah.
Do you ever think about that? Like if you ever had to move, like would your street name be important to you? Like there are some street names around here and I'm like, oh, it sounds so nice. Like there's like one called like Crimson Leaf. Like who doesn't want to be on Crimson Leaf?
Crimson Leaf, I don't know why, but that sounds kind of scary to me.
Really? It sounds bougie to me.
Yeah, Crimson Leaf sounds to me like that's where
Blood?
I feel like the Slytherin secret headquarters is in Crimson Leaf.
Crimson Leaf?
I don't like Crimson Leaf. That
no,
sounds scary
I thought it,
to me.
Like, what about Golden Leaf? What about that?
That sounds a little braver, I suppose. Okay. Yeah. But Golden Leaf sounds a little highfalutin as well.
Yeah, like you're like, I buy
I'm
my
from
coffee.
Golden Leaf. Yeah,
yeah,
you know,
I'm Golden Leaf, and I pay people to mow my lawn and weed everything.
Yeah, I think you know, give me Green Leaf. Green Leaf is fine. Like Green Leaf sounds like
what about Emerald
nice
Leaf?
Emerald Leaf.
Because at least it's green color, but it's like when people are like, it's not blue, it's cerulean.
Well, you know how I feel about a cerulean crayon, as I've noted in the past. Sure, let's go to Emerald Leaf. I'm fine with that. Why not? Yeah. Why not?
So we get maps, and it all ends with this war in the study room, which is called the study room kerfuffle.
Yes, the study room kerfuffle is in full effect.
Mm-hmm.
And it leads us into the ultimato.
Yes, where Jeff is trying to mediate. And Troy says, Abed has until midnight to surrender their territory. The United Forts of Pillow Town decline their request. He says, I'm giving you an ultimato, meaning you give me the whole tomato or else.
Yeah. I think that, I mean, you know, Troy gets it kind of wrong, but he also kind of gets it right. You know, the ultimato is sort of exactly what the ultimatum is.
Yeah. He like nearly nails it.
Yeah,
it's kind of like Britta saying an analogy is like a thought with another thought's hat on it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think an ultimatum is an ultimato, as in give me the whole thing or else. Yeah, I think that's right. I think it's close enough that I'm fine with it.
Yeah. And Abed, of course, is unbending, as is Stannis Baratheon. And he's like, nah, I'm not going to do that. And I don't know why. But again, it's the tiny things with Donald Glover and the way he portrays Troy. But the way he like marches out of that room really cracks me up, and I don't know why. Maybe it's because he's in full pajamas. And seeing someone stomp away in pajamas is just naturally funnier than regular clothes.
Then walking away fully clothed.
But then we get like kind of the lay of the land as to who's on what side. And so Pierce takes Troy's side because Abed is weird. And then Shirley goes with Troy, and I love the text to Andre. I'll be home late, sugar boots. Abed hurts Troy's feelings by being a robot. Need to stay with my boy to make sure Britta doesn't put him on the weed.
Doesn't please put report him on forensic the weed. doesn't put him on the emerald leaf.
Yeah. and then so Shirley gets second command, and so Pierce is pissed, and he switches sides.
Yeah, of course.
Naturally.
So he's on his way towards becoming the pillow monster.
Yeah.
Leonard is weighing in on the war. When I was in Korea, I knew the sound of crap when it was about to hit the fan. You know what it sounded like? That's right, Jackson. Silence.
Yeah. His nickname is Bucket of Guts.
Bucket of Guts.
And then we get Neil on the radio, and Neil is back. And I was really happy to have Neil back. Oh, this
yeah,
is real
who
Neil.
Knew? I mean, that Garrett knows Dungeons and Dragons about as well as Neil. Yeah. I hope that they played together.
I would love to be a fly on the wall of that D&D game.
Same.
So yeah, this is real Neil with Pipes of Steel signing off with the smooth sounds of Daybreak. So good.
Do.
Like, it's the best thing that could have happened to season 3 that they blew their budget on Roxanne. Truly. So then we see, like, I love the little touches of the student film of there's just a group playing Go Fish, and then suddenly there's a noise. 12:07 a.m. Blanketsburg soldiers charge a pillow fort in the library. Pilotonians move quickly to defend.
But there's no rules here, Jess. If you hit someone and if they go down, you stop hitting them. That's common courtesy. But what if they get up? Do you keep hitting them until they learn to stay down? That's common sense.
Shirley's voiceovers are really, really good in this episode. She doesn't have a ton to do in terms of the story, but her voiceovers are really funny.
Yes, I think I underrated in my initial meow meow, so I'm adjusting a half point up, Jess.
Yeah, I may need to as well, just because I do think Yvette Nicole Brown really, really is so elite when it comes to these voiceovers. That's called common sense.
Like, that's called common sense.
So good.
Pretty good.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So the battle lasts 6 full minutes with no territory change.
Mm-hmm. None.
Yeah. And then we get just a really funny moment where Troy is making a speech that makes him sound like an old timey president. And he goes, I ask you now to prepare for war. And I ask Garrett to please fix the microphone on my laptop. It's doing that thing again.
Because it does sound like he's about to give like the Bill Pullman speech from Independence Day where he's like, mankind, you know, like he's on the radio, except it's an accident, which is hysterical.
It's so good. And so then we have a poem, Pillows But No Sleep. Feathers but no birds, pajamas without children, violence without purpose. I saw mommy kissing ExxonMobil. Amanda Johnson, poet by choice,
lesbian by birth. Just absolutely majestic.
That's so good. Incredible. I mean, there's a lot of contenders here for my dean's list. Amanda Johnson, an honorable mention. You nailed
it. Amanda Johnson, poet by choice, lesbian by birth. Jeff Winger is out here giving Winger speeches. Mm-hmm. The critics said that he was just trying to do his best Ferris Bueller to delay schoolwork.
Yeah.
He decried the accusation as a slanderous betrayal akin to 9/11. Wow.
Later after the war, he would refer to the theory as essentially accurate. And so we have Annie doing her nurse work. She's using lint rollers to like get the feathers off of people, and she's really proud of Jeff at first, and then she finds out he's giving the same speeches to both sides. And so we get the text messages back and forth between her and Jeff.
I like how he learns how to use emotes from Annie, and then tosses out the sushi, birthday cake, stop sign, snowman, umbrella. Is there any actual, you know, rhyme or reason to that, or just good emojis in a row?
No, I think those are just, this is Annie texting Jeff, and I think those are just ones she likes, right? Sushi, birthday cake, stop sign, snowman, umbrella. Those are some good emotes.
Yeah. This is pretty good. I like the sushi emote.
I feel like out of all of those, honestly, I'm kind of partial to the umbrella. Something about an umbrella is very soothing.
Something about an umbrella is very soothing?
I think part of it is like when I was a kid.
I think something about an umbrella is actually kind of triggering.
Really?
Yeah, it's probably the trigger mechanism in the umbrella.
It's fair. You know when you're a kid and you're reading those books that it's like every letter. Well, this doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, because every letter is again.
Well, because a J is an umbrella, but that doesn't make sense because J does not stand for umbrella.
No, but it is shaped.
Like a J.
It is a J shaped with the hook, but not all umbrellas have the J shaped hook.
No, some of them don't have the hook. I don't really know if there's like a purpose to the hook either, because you can just, you know.
I don't know. Fist. So you can do like cool little twirly deals.
I would not want to do that.
Why not?
Because what if you drop it or poke someone in the eye?
Well, you try really hard not to do those things. But you're going to let fear get in the way of you doing a cool twirly umbrella trick?
I don't know that I've ever really wanted to do a cool twirly umbrella trick.
Well, let me just incept that in your mind for your next rainy day.
Yeah. So Pierce wants redemption, though. He brings something to Abed. He's drawings for a weapon. Troy hears about this and then turns to Chang.
I have to tell you that despite the fact that he's fairly minimally involved in this episode, everything about the Chang glorious bastards just kills me and their involvement here. It's such low hanging fruit for me, is the idea of the Chang glorious bastards liking glorious bastards, but with Chang instead of in. I don't get it either. I don't know why it kills me, but it totally slays me.
I do think out of all the things, like, I'm not really a big fan of this Chang storyline, but I do love the necklaces made of mattress tags.
Mm-hmm.
That bit for some is so funny and stupid.
It feels very, it feels very shouts to Mike Heller when he was on a few weeks ago. It's like got very big Apocalypse Now energy. It's like Colonel Kurtz has corrupted the youth. So the fact that they're running out there collecting mattress tags feels very, it is very Inglorious Bastards as well.
Yeah.
It's a little less grim, but the subtext is pretty dark here. The subtext of this episode is actually kind of dark.
It's a war.
It's a war. War has come to Greendale, and it's pretty savage.
And so Abed now unleashes his doomsday device, which is Pierce, who is part man, part pillow, all carnage.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's like the Stay Puffed Man.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to say, this looks very cool, and this would make a very cool Halloween costume, except for the fact that you would die of sweat. Just so much sweat.
The pillow costume looks cool.
Was that a question? I think it looks cool.
It looks cool is the word.
It looks like a fun costume.
It's fun, sure.
Well, it's like, I mean, what's a cool costume?
I don't know. A ninja, Iron Man, slice of pizza.
Whoa, man, what a cool slice of pizza.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool slice of pizza. Yeah.
My gauge for what is cool is probably not the average gauge for what is cool, to be fair.
Well, that's fair. That's
fine.
We all have our different gauges.
But all the kids run away. The war won't stop with First Blood Part 2. It will escalate to Rambo 3, which really should be called Rambo 2, First Blood Part 3.
But the Rambo titles never made sense, and neither does this war. Abed Nadir, Facebook status update. Do we think that Abed is still on Facebook in 2022? Or has Abed deactivated his Facebook account?
I think he's deactivated at this point. I think he's like, I feel like he is on some like really obscure piece of social media that no one else is on.
Yeah.
Or he is like discovered TikTok before everyone else did.
He's still on Periscope.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
He's still on Clubhouse.
Yeah, that's right. Early adopter.
Leonard likes this post.
Yeah, of course he does. So we get some more Annie and Jeff. Annie's not talking to Jeff. And she says, have you ever written anything in a journal before? If I write stuff down in a Hello Kitty book, will you like me again? I guess that's the key to repairing their friendship.
Yeah. She tells him to start writing in a journal, write stuff down. Mm-hmm. Not all conversations are just for you to get things.
Then we get into a really nasty little exchange between Troy and Abed that I don't like this at all. And obviously Troy and Abed are great. And so they're really fun in this episode too. And I think that their ultimate resolution is really great, but I don't like it when mom and dad fight. I don't like it when Troy and Abed are fighting. And I don't like how mean this gets.
Yeah, it's really, really mean. So Abed writes an email that gets intercepted and Troy reads it. And it says he'll hold on until he's broken emotionally, but it won't be hard to break him. He gets distracted by loud noises, the color red, smooth jazz, shiny things, food smells, music boxes, bell bottoms, boobs, barking dogs, and anyone saying, look over there. He's also insecure about his level of intelligence, and his greatest vulnerability of all is his emotional frailty. It's incredibly easy to make him cry, and he's incredibly ashamed of that fact.
This is horrific.
This is really bad.
On another character, this would qualify as an instant bagel. And I feel like I'm reevaluating, even in this moment. I docked Abed and Troy in terms of how he also is fighting with Abed.
Yeah.
I docked them points, but I don't think I've been severe enough. So I'm making some meow meow adjustments on the fly, Jess. I'll keep you posted.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think, again, this all gets resolved, but it is, if not for how amazing this episode is as like a genre episode, I think you could dock points for like the simplicity of the wrap up of the conflict. Poor Troy, he's so upset by this, and Britta tries to capture it, but of course she just ends up taking a photo of her own blurry nose upside down. And so Troy texts Abed, I've read your dumb email, really enjoyed it. Guess what? You may have been my best friend, but we both know I was your first friend. And you know what? I know, but you don't know because you have mental issues, is that you'll never going to have another friend because nobody else will ever have my patience with you.
Oh my gosh.
It's so sad, but like you could see why Troy feels this way.
Yeah, he just got horribly dogged by Abed. And I mean, it's not nice what he says in return, and two wrongs don't make a right. But if I am on someone's side in this, I am on Troy's side more.
Yeah,
and more,
well, because we've seen this
side.
Coming, right? This is more than just a one episode thing. Like, this has been building over the last few episodes that Abed's rigidity and inability to see past his own, you know, kind of his own interests is causing friction between him and Troy. And I think this was kind of prophesized in season two when Abed didn't offer to have Troy move in with him when Troy originally moved in with Pierce for a while.
Right.
This is kind of destined to happen.
Yeah, you think so for sure. Mm-hmm. Later that night, there's a ceasefire so that they can all watch Ski Shoot Sing, because there's really no point in watching Ski Shoot Sing if you're not watching live, because then you get the results spoiled for you on Ski Shoot Sing.
Yeah.
Does this become a continued bit? Is this the first and last Ski Shoot Sing?
Yeah, it's the only mention of it from my recollection.
Yeah, I would have liked to have seen Ski Shoot Sing in real life.
Yeah.
Seems like an interesting show.
Seems truly awful, I'm sure. But Jeff summons Troy and Abed to a secret meeting, and they're just arguing. He's like, listen, you guys used to be Troy and Abed. It was so easy. But Abed's like, you're right. Our friendship is dead.
Yeah, and it was easy, but now it's done. And whoever wins the war keeps the apartment, and the other one has to move out.
This is really escalating. And I really fail to see Abed's point in all of this. And I wish that Troy was able to articulate how he's feeling about this in a more reasonable way. But it is ultimately a television sitcom. And so comedy of errors must continue.
Yes. And then we get one of the funniest monologues in Community, probably, all about the North Cafeteria, named after Admiral William North, located in the western portion of the East Hall, gateway to the western half of North Hall, which is not named after William North, but for its position above the South Wall, the most contested and confusing battlefield on Greendale's campus.
Next to the English Memorial Spanish Center, named after English Memorial, a Portuguese sailor that discovered Greendale while looking for a fountain that cured syphilis. This might be some of the greatest dialogue featured in the entirety of Community up to this point, is this whole monologue right here.
It's absolutely ridiculous. I love how much they take advantage of having the narrator and having like all of this monologued. Like, this is something that you really, it'd be hard to kind of stick it into a regular episode of Community. And the fact that they have the maps going along with this the whole time is hilarious.
Brilliant. Brilliantly
so
done.
So good.
Yeah,
this is really, why really Community fun. Is such a wonderful sitcom and so unique, is because episodes like this exist. You would not find this in any other sitcom.
It's so good. It's really great.
Yeah.
So there's this huge battle that's about to ensue here, obviously. But the dean is trying to break it up, that the war is over. The Guinness World Records representative was fired in the world's biggest mistake. So there's no more reason for the fighting to continue.
Yeah, so everyone leaves except Troy and Abed, who will just continue to hit each other with pillows for hours.
Yeah, because it's the last thing they're ever going to do together. This is like when me and Mike Bloom need a full like 25 additional weeks of podcasting to keep talking about Lost. Because if we stop, then we can't talk about Lost anymore.
Yeah,
because
you cease being friends after that, obviously. It's in the contract.
Never. I refused.
Friendship ends as soon as Lost.
You can't take Mike Bloom away from me. Try as he might to get away from me, I won't let him go. Never.
We have to go back to our friendship.
Yeah.
But Jeff says, listen, you still have your magical friendship hats.
Yeah, maybe and if we so put them on, like, we can resolve this.
Yeah, and they're interested.
Yeah.
Jeff tries to just put them on their heads, and they're like, Jeff, dude, you know they're in the office.
Office, you idiot. It's so great.
So they put the hats on. They do their handshake. Britta accidentally captures it on film because she was trying to take
a picture of the waffles and how the light was hitting the syrup on the waffles. And instead, she gets the photo of the war.
Yeah. Jeff makes an entry in his
journal. She Britta'd her way into history.
It's so perfect. It's so Britta. Jeff does make a journal in his entry, and he does say he does actually go to the dean's office to get the hats. One was crumpled, one was dusty. He says, you know what? I would do anything for my friends, which I think is how everyone in the world feels, which finally makes me understand war. Guys, I wasn't going to show this to anyone, but it's pretty profound. I kind of nailed it.
If you want, I can read it in the documentary. That's unless you get Tom Hanks. They couldn't get Tom Hanks. And then Jeff is in the audio booth with is it Keith David or is it David Keith? Keith David, not Keith David, David Keith. David yeah, Keith is a different Keith actor. David.
Yeah.
Totally different guy. He was Arliss. And Keith David was Goliath in Gargoyles. And also Mary's stepfather in There's Something About Mary.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he asks if he was in the cape.
Keith was not Arliss. That's Richard Warburton or something.
You could have said any name.
I have to correct the record for myself. And it isn't. Is it Richard Warburton? Who is Arliss? Who played Arliss? HBO. Arliss HBO. Robert Wall. What is wrong with me? I don't know. But David Keith looks a lot like Arliss. So if you look up David Keith, you'll see a guy who looks exactly like Arliss from HBO. That's why I've always been confused. It's a very confusing series of actors for me. This is like my personal Dermot Mulroney.
Well, it's because he's Keith David, and Keith David is two first names, and so naturally untrustworthy.
Yes, typically. And also, though, he has played some really great trustworthy characters, which makes it even more difficult because now you don't know if you can trust him once you know the name of the actor.
Yeah.
It's tough.
It's tricky.
It's a tough situation. Can you distinguish Dylan McDermott and Dermot Mulroney? Do you have any trouble there?
I don't know that I know either of them.
Wow. Okay.
Dylan McDermott. Let me look them up.
You'll know
Dylan
them.
McDermott. Oh, his face is very familiar.
You've seen him. You know him for sure.
I do know him.
Dermot Mulroney, I expect you've encountered.
Dermot Mulroney.
One time I was present.
Oh, yeah. He was on Sex and the City.
I was once with Kevin Mahadeo in person when he discovered that Dylan McDermott and Dermot Mulroney were two individual actors
they
who existed.
Totally different.
And his mind was blown in the best of Kevin Mahadeo ways. And it was one of my favorite things I've witnessed from Kevin.
Yeah. He was in Four Weddings and a Funeral.
Yep.
He was in Shameless.
Isn't Dermot Mulroney in My Best Friend's Wedding?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Also that. Yeah, he's, oh my God, that's right. He's in Friends for a little bit.
Yeah.
That's right. That's what I recognized him from, Friends, because he's co-workers with Rachel. He's a pretty good looking guy.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I'm over here confusing Keith David with David Keith and David Keith with Robert Wool and Robert Wool with Patrick Warburton, who is what's his face from Seinfeld and The Tick.
Warburton. Oh, this guy. Yeah. Isn't he like the American whatever the heck voice actor?
American Dad?
Yes.
Yeah.
And he's also in Emperor's New Groove as Kronk.
Yeah.
So, oh my God, the picture of him, the first picture of him on IMDb is him dressed in a purple suit as a bug?
Yeah, he's The Tick. What is superhero. The
Tick? Okay.
Check out what The Tick outfit. Sometime. I think you might enjoy The Tick.
It's a very interesting outfit, I have
to say. Yeah, it is. It is. I would check out The Tick. If you haven't checked out The Tick, I think The Tick is worth the pick. I think
I will definitely check it out.
If you don't like The Tick specifically, I feel like you'll love Arthur, his moth sidekick.
He's a moth sidekick?
Named Arthur.
That sounds great.
But he's a human. He's a human who dresses like a moth. And his name is Arthur.
That sounds great, actually.
Yeah.
Huh.
It's not bad. It's not bad.
Now we're at the end credit scene. Troy and Abed are holding a telethon. And we get different... which one of these sounds most appealing to you? Troy and Abed, Pillows and Blankets.
Yeah.
Craig Pelton, A Year in Paris.
Mm-hmm.
From Labs to Riches, The Annie's Boobs Story.
Yeah.
Or That's Entertainment.
I would love to see That's Entertainment, but I'd be really curious about Labs to Riches, The Annie's Boobs Story, because I feel like it would fill in the blanks on a lot of question marks that we have here in Community still.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
I like that they're doing essentially the go to patreon.com/postshowrecaps shout. Like, you got to support the arts or else you'll never know when we'll lose our fund. And then it's cut out. It's great. Hard
it is good. Streets ahead for it. It's funny. Streets I love the telethon bit.
Yes. Really, very really, good. Really fun. Some feedback from this episode. The great Eric Divestein. This episode is amazing. It mimics the style of a Ken Burns documentary so well with hilarious twists. It packs in so many great little jokes. Leonard likes this post. Cracks me up every time. And apparently he fought for North Korea. Eric also asks when we can expect the PSR recap of Ski Shoot Sing. I think this has to be a bonus episode of Community Building on one of the weeks I'm unavailable, Jess.
There you go. That's it.
Jess, don't worry. I already modified the meow meow, so you don't have to do any additional anything on my side of things. But if you need to fix it for yourself, go for it.
Yep.
This is from Riley. Riley says, I love how this episode shows that even when the fighting gets this bad, Troy and Abed are still best friends and don't want their friendship to stop. I think it's a wonderful story, especially with how Jeff factors in at the end to help them with their magical friendship hats. But as others have said, I wish there was a bit more. A moment of Abed realizing he took Troy for granted, or a little moment of Abed following Troy's lead, some little hint that Abed learned. But again, I think that's just part of these two characters. Troy is the one who gets the ton of character development, while Abed is just Abed, and we learn more about him over time. I think that I feel that, especially in talking it through, that I wish that we had a little more real character development between Abed and Troy here, and that a lesson was learned. And I don't know that a lesson really was learned here. And it was also kind of nasty. And so I was inclined to give them pretty high meow meow beans this week, because without them, we wouldn't have this episode. And that much is true. But I think that a lot of the other characters shine brighter than Troy and Abed in this one. So as we're segueing into meow meow beans, Jess,
I'm giving Troy and Abed my lowest scores of everyone this week. I'm giving them both a 3 each. And that is a lesson to be learned to these two boys. Play nice or don't play at all. A flat 3 to Troy and a flat 3 to Abed. And I'm trying not to take sides here, but I'm tempted to give Troy a little bit of a higher score than Abed. But I want to be an instigator. I don't want to choose sides here. So 3 to Troy, 3 to Abed. I gave 3.5 to Annie, Chang, and Dean. I think they all have funny moments in here, but I think that they could be a little funnier in this one for me. Shirley and Pierce both get a 4. Shirley has some really funny narrations, as we've articulated here in the recap of the podcast already. Pierce in the giant pillow monster costume. Really, you get me a good visual Chevy Chase gag, and I'm pretty in, Jess. I think that that is the key to Pierce for me. And then I gave full 5s to Britta for the reason that we've talked about, that Britta's just ridiculous and her further ascent, or I guess descent into madness, has been just such a delight for me in the in watching season 3 in order. I'm just, every episode, it seems like more and more she's just emerging as my favorite character of the show right now. So Britta at the top for me. But Jeff gets a 5 too. Jeff's a very good friend ultimately in this episode. Yeah. He dismantles the war. He gets them the friendship hats. And he goes all the way back to the office to get those friendship hats. He dusts them off. He cleans the hats. He gets the right hat onto the right person. He plays ball when he doesn't realize that people are watching him via security camera footage. So this is a really great Jeff episode, I thought. So he gets a 5 for me, and them's my meow meows.
Yeah, similar to you. I was a little bit higher overall on people, but my lowest is Chang with a 3, just because he's not there a ton. And when he is, he's not really making me laugh that much. I gave Annie, Shirley, Pierce, and Abed all 4s. Annie and Shirley are kind of around the same amount. Shirley does have really funny voiceovers, so I gave her a little bit of a boost for that. Yeah. Pierce, the pillow bit does make me laugh. When he comes storming into the room in the pillow outfit, I don't care if it's actually Chevy Chase in there, it does crack me up. And
the
really
idea that
like
Pierce
it.
Is in there is enough. You know?
Exactly. And he is the pettiness with which he switches sides because he is not named second in command is very funny as well. Abed, I did mark him down a little bit below Troy because I just felt like he was in the wrong. I felt like it's all about compromise in a friendship.
I want to do this as well. I think you're right. I'm gonna give Troy 3.5 to Abed's 3. I am siding with Troy here. I think that the email from Abed is like scathing and mean in a way that I really don't like.
Yeah, exactly. And it's one of those things where it's like Abed needs to understand that part of being in a friendship or being in any relationship is going to have some sort of compromise, and you can't always get your way. And so I marked him down to a 4. Troy, Dean, and Jeff all got 4.5s for me. Troy, I just thought like a lot of it was Donald Glover's mannerisms for me, him stomping out of the room in his pajamas. When he gets very upset about being about the email that says he gets upset easily.
Yep.
I thought was really funny. The Dean, I marked him really high marks because I really loved when he says like, oh, the Guinness World rep got fired, which he said was the world's biggest mistake, which I have a hard time believing. That line really did crack me up.
Yeah.
And then Jeff, I gave a 4.5. Like, he certainly could earn a 5 here. He does a lot of wonderful things. For me, I was missing like a teensy bit of like laughs from him. And I also found Britta just so funny that I did want to kind of give her that full 5 by herself. So I gave Britta a 5. Like, I don't know what it is. And I'm glad we're on the same page with it. So I know that I'm not just losing my mind.
She's incredible.
Just so
she's killing me. Yeah.
Yeah. So she's a full 9 points ahead of anybody else this season currently.
We love this.
I don't think anybody's going to catch her at this point. And I kind of hope they don't, because
there's still time.
She's so funny.
We have what? We have not quite 10 episodes left in season 3.
There's certainly time for it to happen. I think she's going to run away with it.
I hope so. I hope she does. Yeah. I think she deserves it so far. She's been great. So she is out in the lead. Then it's pretty close between Troy and Abed. They're separated by a point in 2 and 3. Annie's not terribly far behind at 147 in 4th place. Jeff is not too far behind that in 5th with 145.5. And that's a full 10 meow meows ahead of Shirley in 6th with 135.5. That's pretty high out in front of Dean, who really, just because lack of screen time, I think, 117.5 meow meows, which is really tight with Pierce,
who has 117, and Chang is really dragging in the back. 78 yeah. and a half meow meow beans for Chang. We'll see. Can Dean catch him in the long term?
Yeah.
My theory still holds. I don't think that he will, Jess. Looking
I
at
think
this
a lot
right
of it
now,
will depend. I think a lot of it will depend on how you enjoy the Chang-ing of it all. Because
how close are we to the Chang-ing?
Oh, it's coming up. Yeah.
You keep saying this. Do you want to not just tell me when it's happening?
It's like it's
very
kind
soon.
Of a slow burn until it explodes.
Okay.
So right. like it's still it's we're in there, right? Where you've seen the Chang Glorious Bastards,
sure.
right?
Yes.
But yeah. it doesn't fully the fit doesn't hit the Shan until okay. like further down the season.
All right, but it'll be hard to miss.
Oh yes.
I can't wait.
Chang
can't
is wait. Not ever something that is, you know, difficult to not
wait.
See. Yeah.
Dean's list, double points to the narrator here, I think, from you and me.
It was hard to like, I wanted to give it to someone like Garrett.
I thought
or
about
Leonard or,
briefly. But it's, yeah.
But it's one of those things where the narrator was such an essential part to this episode. It felt like really, really yep. awful to not give it to him.
It's the narrator. So. I think that's very easy. I think it makes the episode. So yeah. I don't really know how I would give it to somebody else. So the narrator is on the board with 2 points. Garrett, appropriately, still in the lead here with 6 points.
Crisis alert!
Crisis alert, yeah. It would be a crisis if he wasn't in the lead at this mm-hmm. point. The cools. Look at this. Obviously a 4 from me, a 4 from you. This is just an iconic episode of Community, obviously. You showed it to yeah. me in season 0. This is this really, really hit really well here on the rewatch today for me. A very clear, perfect meow meow. If this isn't a note perfect episode of Community, I don't know what one looks like. And yet, because Remedial Chaos Theory exists on this season, it is not yeah. number one, but it's really tight, actually.
It is. Yeah. So Remedial Chaos Theory is at a 3.99 and this one is at a 3.98. Mm-hmm. The audience is at a 3.93. I think most people, when they didn't give it a 4, their reasoning was because of the Troy and Abed stuff kind of being swept under the blanket, if you will, of it being resolved too easy. And they didn't really have like a formal resolution. I think that yeah. was kind of people's problem with it. You know, for the most part.
Yeah.
So that's what kind of brought it down a little bit lower to bring it below Remedial Chaos Theory.
All right. So it's in second place here in season 3 with 3.98 is the total score. Jess, how does that stack up in the grand scheme of things? This has to be pretty high up in our episode rankings so far. Do we have that data readily available or not quite yet?
No, I can pull up some information here. I would be
really curious. Is Pillows and Blankets the number 2 episode of Community according to Community building so far? What's it's hard for me to imagine that it's not with a 3.98. This is pretty tough to beat.
Modern Warfare has a 3.96, so yeah. it is higher than that. And then I'm going to pull up episode 2 ratings, 3.96.
Yeah.
So Fistful of Paintballs is 3.988. So I'd have to look at the next
okay,
decimal
yeah,
point
yeah,
for this
but
one.
But it's in the conversation.
It is in the conversation. It's really high up there. Advanced D&D is 3.97. We have a lot at 3.96, including intermediate documentary filmmaking for a few paintballs more.
And scores are still open, right? If anyone wants to get their scores yeah. in, it's an ongoing evolving list. You could send all that in community at postshowrecaps.com. Just tell us the episodes, yeah. tell us a score 0 to 4, however many decimal points you want to really trick out Jess Sterling.
And
you can,
also
you can send them in.
Pillows and Blankets is a 3.975. So okay. so it is a little a tad lower than
got it. Okay.
Than the other one. But yeah. No, it's a really elite episode. It's the genre-ness of it all, right? Like it's anytime they do these big, big genre episodes that are just so unexpected and delightful. They're so different and they knock it out of the park in so many ways. This isn't the biggest character episode, right? Like we would look at Mixology Certification and say that is a really, really big, impactful character episode.
Sure.
But I don't think it has to necessarily always be both. You know, right. I do think like the genre can be the character for the episode.
100%. All right. So that is Pillows and Blankets, Jess. What's happening next week on Community Building?
Yeah, we're getting spooky up in here. Ooh. Origins of Vampire Mythology.
Origins of Vampire Mythology. This isn't a Halloween episode, though. We're already way past Halloween at this point in time.
No, it's not.
It's April 2012. No.
Yeah, it's definitely not a it's not a Halloween episode at all.
Yeah.
But it is a really fun episode.
Okay. And are we announcing a special guest for this one? Yes.
We will have a special guest on returning to the podcast, the one, the only Gordon Holmes.
Oh my gosh. I'm super excited. I'm really excited to catch up with Gordon, one of my absolute favorite human beings on the planet Earth or any planet out there that has people. So I can't wait for Gordon to be on the pod. This is going to be really, really, really fun, no matter how the episode is. You like this next one? It's a good one?
From what I remember of it, I really remember loving the one storyline. I'm not sure if I really love the second storyline, but I remember one storyline very fondly. So okay. It's not like a it's not like a 3.98 episode, but it is a very fun one.
Got it. Okay, cool. So that's coming next. Of course, you can get access to community building episodes a little bit earlier than everybody else when you sign up at patreon.com/postshowrecaps. Get early access to community building, ad-free versions of the community building podcast, and you can watch community building live when it records on Thursday evenings at 5:30 p.m. Eastern time. Just Sterling, what else you got going on? Tell us the full deal.
Yes. So you can hear me on Post Show Recaps on a whole number of things. I'm wrapping up two different podcasts currently. Paper Girls, we are finishing up season one, that is with Deidre Lipsicus. Really, really fun show. Amazing graphic novel. I really implore you to go check it out on Amazon Prime Video. I'm still fingers crossed hoping for a season two. I haven't heard anything yet.
Nothing as of yet, as I've seen. No.
I will definitely be getting on Twitter and like raging against the Twitter bots to get it renewed because it's such a good show. Also covering Pretty Little Liars with Sarah Ferguson. That show was just like a hot mess in such a fun way. It's a little bit scary if that's your thing. A lot of mystery involved, really heavy topics. So I would say like, don't, you know, tread a little bit lightly if that's like not your cup of tea, but it's really, really fun as well. So we're finishing up that. The last three episodes just dropped on HBO Max, if that's something you're interested in. And of course, over on Shit 90 Shows Taught Me, we are talking Boy Meets World and Dawson's Creek. We're finishing up season six. We are almost to our final season of Boy Meets World. A lot of weird stuff is happening on that show right now. They definitely got to a point where they're just like, you know what? Why not? Let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's have Eric become roommates with a man who thinks his like taxidermy parrot is alive. Let's do it.
Wait, is that with which Lawrence brother is it?
No, it's not. That's not the one who thinks his taxidermy parrot is alive, but it is.
I figured it was just a, he has other roommates other than the Lawrence brother and then
Matthew Lawrence. He does move out for a little while when Rachel and Jack start dating because he really liked Rachel and he's all
did
like,
did they
upset
try
about
to give
it.
Rachel and Jack their own storyline?
Like, not
did
really.
They have scenes completely by themselves?
A little bit, not a ton.
What a whiff.
It's very strange. Yeah, it's not great. It's not very great.
You gotta be pretty close to the end here on Boy Meets World.
Yeah, we have one season left.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how many episodes?
Probably like 22.
There's a 22 episode final season?
They're all like 20 something episodes. Yeah. Wow.
What season are you up to now? What number?
Six.
That's the final season? Is season
seven
six?
Is the final season. We have one episode left in this season.
How long does it take for one boy to meet the world?
Long time. And then of course we're also going to be covering Xenon the Girl of the 21st Century, which was like one of the first few Disney Channel original movies,
right?
So
yeah, I still remember you telling me that.
I'm very, very excited about it. So
I'll choose to believe you that's
yes.
real.
That is all we have going on. You could follow us at Shit 90s Pod and you could follow me at the Just Sterling.
Incredible. Lots of stuff happening here on Post Show Recaps. The current hotness is the imminent arrival of House of the Dragon, the brand new show set within the Game of Thrones universe. It takes place 200 years before Game of Thrones. It's a prequel. If you've never watched Game of Thrones before, you'd be able to hop right into House of the Dragon and pick it up. Of course, it's going to be very violent and nasty and gross. So, you know, proceed accordingly. If you'd rather just like be Game of Thrones conversant and hang out with your Post Show Recaps friends, we're covering it thoroughly. So you'll be able to just listen to Post Show Recaps on our House of the Dragon podcast feed and get a whole mess of House of the Dragon podcast. We're going to have a ton of fun, no matter how miserable the show itself might actually be. The podcast, at the very least, will be insightful and fun and all the good things that you've come to hope for from Post Show Recaps. So we're really excited about that. Make sure that you're checking all of that out. If you want to get access to those podcasts a little early, some of those podcasts a little bit earlier than anybody else, and certainly this community building podcast earlier, again, patreon.com/postshowrecaps. is the way. With all of that said, we are going to be back next week with our good buddy Gordon Holmes talking about origins of vampire mythology. Until next time, everybody, I suppose normally I say, Corey B., take us away. I think this week, maybe, Eric Charles Nielsen, take us away again.
Crisis alert! It's Jess's birthday! Crisis alert! Jess's birthday was actually several days ago! Crisis alert! Jess's Dungeons & Dragons character almost died! Hi, Jess. This is Eric Charles Nielsen from Community, wishing you a very happy birthday from Josh and the entire PSR community, and also for myself. I am sorry this message is somewhat late. I may have been stuck in a vent. But I am here now. I hope you had a great birthday. I hope you're chillaxing. Apparently, you were not necessarily chillaxing on your birthday. I am reading here about a near-death experience for for a character who I am going to call Little Billy, which is wrong, but I can pronounce it. A near-death experience for Little Billy, the pronounceable, of Clan Clumsy Moss. I can pronounce that one. I don't understand it. I can pronounce it. I do not know how Moss can be clumsy, how you would even measure such a thing, who would name their entire clan after the results of the evaluation of Moss dexterity. I'm beginning to realize what I'm doing here. I was told this was a birthday message, a belated birthday, and now I am realizing it's a gnome video! This is probably a gnome. I'm just saying, I don't want to cast around accusations. Probably talking about a gnome here. Well, your probable gnome made it through your birthday, and I made it through your birthday, and you made it through your birthday. It's still sunny. I hope you had a great birthday. I hope you have a great year. Because as far as I'm concerned, Jess, your birthday is not over. Your birthday is still happening right now. I do not care what the calendar says. So stay and eat cake or go to hell.
This is a show in season 3. If you didn't know, we included the Dean, Wiggler, and Jess here till it ends. Meet up to pass or fail Green Gale with all of our friends. The brightest timeline's here to shine the way. Community building is here to stay.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.